Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the April meeting of the Curry Beach Town Council. We'll start with the invocation and pledge of allegiance from Reverend Tommy Williams from Williams Gospel Ministries.
Before I open up, I'd like y'all to do me a favor tonight. I'm one of you. We lost three very good friends in the last 4 months. The one that I grew up with when I started in the church department in 71. We lost Red, we lost Gene, and we just lost Buzzy. And all three of them people in my law enforcement career here were very instrumental in helping me. Whenever I would need something, I could go to any one of them. And believe it or not, they gave some fantastic advice. But what I want y'all to do tonight, if you're praying, I want you to pray for the family. Because it's a tough thing to lose a loved one, because I know I just lost my wife 6 years ago. But it's a hard thing. So anytime you see them on the street, you see Punky around, or somebody's taken, or whatever, stop and say a word to them. Well, that means an awful lot, okay? All right. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I give you thanks for all those who are gathered here tonight. And I thank you for the many blessings that I know that you're going to give us tonight. I thank you for life itself and for friendship. I thank you for allowing me to be involved in this way with the Town Council of Curry Beach. It gives me honor. I thank those that are going to be here, that are here tonight. I know we're all going to have something to say. And what I just pray now that everybody comes accord in one group. I know there's going to be discussion at the meetings tonight. There's always a discussion. But long story short, we're not here to argue about anything. We're here to make the town better. Now, sometimes it takes a little arguing, I understand. But we have to, at the end of the night, realize what the ultimate goal here is going to be. And that's to make this town that we all love a better place. And Lord, I just ask that you give everybody here that's going to be involved here tonight the right things to say in the right way. And who knows what's going to happen. You know, there's been so many wonderful things that have happened in this town since I've been affiliated with it, and through the people's help and through the council's help, there's going to be many more things here that will make this place even better than what it is now. I know that's hard to say because Curry Beach is a lovely, great town. But with you in the audience and you on the council working together, it will indeed get things done and get things done in the right way. And Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen. Let's say a prayer for leaders.
Amen.
I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Reverend. Okay. This month we have Commissioner John Ellen out of town, and I would like a motion to approve his absence.
Make a motion to excuse John Ellen.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. John is excused. It takes commission down to four today. Approval of consent agenda items. The minutes of the regular, the closed session, and the budget workshop. Do I have a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda. Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Adoption of the agenda as we move forward. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda or any suggested changes to the agenda?
Make a motion to approve as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, so the agenda stands. All right. So if we can start with, I guess we'll do the MPO presentation first. All right.
Is there a certain place you guys like me to stand?
Let you jump out of here, yes.
Oh, podium. Yeah, I can see. All right. Well, hey, everyone, my name is Michael Madsen. I'm the GIS analyst for the WMPO, the Lewinton Metropolitan Planning Organization. We decided to come out here and give you guys a little update on our new MTP, Cape Fear Moving Forward 2045, and let you know what's going on with this current project. So I think first I'll give you guys a little refresh on the MPO and responsibilities. So an MPO is a federally funded and mandated transportation policy-making organization in the United States made up of local governments and government transportation agencies. The MPO, the Wilmington Metropolitan Planning Organization, is made up of 494 square miles. It was founded in 1978 and it consists of Wilmington, Wrightsville Beach, Carolina Beach, Curry Beach, Leland, Belleville, Navassa, New Hanover County, parts of Brunswick and Pender County, the NCDOT, and Cape Fear Public Transportation Authority. So quickly, some of our responsibilities. We're federally mandated to provide a comprehensive and continuing cooperative planning process for any areas more than 50,000 residents. This planning process serves as a basis for expenditures of all federally transmitted funds in the MPO area. We also assist with the prioritization of transportation projects in the area as well. So the thing I'm here to explain or talk about, I guess, is the MTP, the Metropolitan Transportation Plan. It's required by federal governments that all MPOs create a long-range transportation plan with a minimum of 20-year horizon. So our current plan that we have right now is Cape Fear Transportation 2040. This is set to expire in November of 2020, so that's why we're starting working on this new one here. It contains multiple transportation analysis, region demographic analysis, financial analysis, and public involvement. So the current, or the one we're working on now, is Cape Fear Moving Forward 2045. There's our logo. And our mission statement is, Cape Fear Moving Forward 2045 will plan for a safe, realistic, efficient, and reliable multimodal transportation network that embraces innovation and is environmentally and socially responsible. So to give you guys a little timeline of what's going on with the MTP, we are right now in the initial public outreach efforts. So that's from, we started on April 3rd, was our kickoff date, and we'll be going until July. After that, we'll be doing public comment, review, and analysis. That'll go to September. After that, we'll develop project lists, prioritize projects, and draft a plan. And then finally, by November 2020, we will have public hearings and approval of our process. So as I said, right now we are initial public outreach, so we're trying to get everybody in the MPO region to get involved. So there's multiple ways we could do that. Our website, which is up and running now, is Cape Fear Moving Forward 2045.org. I encourage everybody to go there. And we have a survey available, which you can go through, give us all your ideas for transportation in the future. The really cool thing that we have, The really cool thing we have is a web map I developed. This allows you to go through either on your mobile device or on your home computer. You can go click on a mode of transportation, so there's roads, bike ped, and pedestrians, aviation, public transportation, ferries, and trains. And you can go into all these different maps, zoom in, and either click on a location, give us an idea you have for the future transportation in that area, you know, a complaint about a certain road or a sidewalk that you see improved. We already have almost 300 comments already. So we just launched in April, so we're doing beginning of April, so we're doing pretty good. We'd love to hear everyone's opinions throughout the entire of the MPO. So please get involved if you have the time. So other ways you can get involved is we have open houses. Here we'll do discussing even further the MTP, how the MPO is involved in planning for transportation, and also hands-on use of the interactive map that we made also, which I have so you can go and give your input. So Carolina Beach Town Hall is the next one. That'll be May 1st from 4 to 6 p.m. Then Leland Town Hall, that'll be May 8th. The Hampstead Annex, New Hanover County Senior Center. And then the last one will be the Wilmington City Hall on Wednesday, May 16th. So this is my supervisor, Abby Lorenzo. She's a senior transportation planner for the MPO. If you guys have further questions about it, you can either email her or I'm also right here to ask any questions.
Any questions? Any questions from the council? I do have some.
Yeah.
So this will give us a chance to look at all the congestion along Carolina Beach Road and our ingress and egress to the Pleasure Island. Okay.
For sure, yeah.
And other alternatives like sea, taxis, or whatever else there is in bus service.
Exactly. I can give you an example right now, actually. So one of the top, the map also gives you the ability to go through other comments people have made and vote on them. Mm-hmm. You can't downvote, but you can upvote. So okay. The ones that have the most votes, you know, will get more voice. So an example I can think of is the top vote for public transportation right now is to put a bus stop at Wrightsville Beach because there isn't one currently. So there's stuff like that that will, you know, get more attention. I know there's been a lot of comments on the roadways, for example, of alleviating traffic near Market and I'm blanking on the other street, but yeah. So yeah, it's definitely utilize that tool, especially so we can find out exactly what areas in these communities need the most help.
Okay. All right. Any other questions?
No, sir.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks
guys.
For coming down.
Thanks for coming down. Okay, we will now move to persons to address council, and the first on the list is Tony and Connie. If you would state your name and your address, please.
Tony Carbazzi. This is my wife, Connie Markle, 454 North Fort Fisher Boulevard. We were here last month asking you about the feasibility of us putting the pool in like was granted to two other people. You said that you should go ahead and spend money getting some work done. So we had the survey done and the encroachment agreement, and I think everything's fine with that. What else? We met with two pool contractors and a builder about putting the pool in. And although the pool isn't finalized, what they asked us to do is come here and say, this fixture has the best. Get this approved, and then we'll work within that limit of what you actually want. So we're back today asking for approval to move forward with all the stuff that we have to kind of do with John Batson.
Okay. John.
So my one comment I want to make sure you realize is if you look at the map and you see the line denoted as the development line, that is yes. Also our perpetual easement line. They're one and the same now. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's not a recommendation. Okay, so.
I'm gonna make a recommendation.
No. Does this this will not extend further than the existing pools? As a matter of fact, I think it does not extend as far as the existing pools.
It does not. No, sir. It's very similar to two other locations. You've approved the same thing.
And we have the same the same easements drawn up with the attorney, right? Or the same agreements.
I haven't reviewed those.
We're using the exact same agreement as our understanding right. Of the last meeting.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Any questions from council?
So is this a motion to approve, or do we have to wait until we get to new business? Because this is addressing?
What we'll do is we will wait till we get to new business, but while they're up here, I wonder if you want to, it'd be part of old business, I guess, but right. If you wish to ask them any questions, they are available now at the podium.
I'm good.
Do you want a copy of the encroachment agreement? Andy has it, and it was what Ned Barnes.
I've seen it. It's the same document.
It's what
yeah.
Was sent here.
Yeah, I'm just making sure it's the same.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
So. Thank you.
Okay,
Stuart Pittman.
I think I'm already on the agenda for later.
Okay. Mr. Lawler.
Yeah, you'll need to talk now. It's on the agenda later.
Okay. Well, then we'll wait for that. Steve. Okay. All right.
What's your
this is pretty easy. I'm sorry I can't read the last name. It looks like Luke. And you're with them as well. Okay, good. That was easy enough. Thank you. Okay, well then let's move into discussion and consideration of committee business. Community center. Anything to add, Linda?
No. We're doing great, and we are continuing our beautification outside the building, thanks to a couple of our members who have a green thumb. And we're just gearing up, starting in May, to get preparation for the big barbecue thing we do in August. How many sitting here have been to the big barbecue in August? Oh my gosh. That's horrible. So now I know who I can sell tickets to. That's right. Now you can buy tickets at the door, but it's going to be bigger and better than ever. And just keep that in mind. It's the third Saturday in August, I believe. How many here have ever been to the community center? Let me see a show of hands. Oh, that's better. Well, you have to be there. Anyway. If you haven't, there are a lot of wonderful classes there. Please take note. It's always in the Island Gazette. It's a beautiful facility, and it's getting better. We've had a lot of new things added that makes it a wonderful place, and it's booked up for weddings practically the entire summer. So we're happy that our rentals are way up and above last year. So everything's good. We're all happy.
Good. Okay, Marketing Committee. No one from Marketing Committee today. Planning and Zoning Commission.
Three items for the Planning and Zoning Commission are on the new business agenda.
All right, we'll catch up then. Non-town committee reports, there are none this month. Shoreline Access and Beach Protection. Any input from the ladies? Or Dennis, I'm sorry.
I
just want to give an update that the new beach access signs are in, John is working with CAMA to get the permits in place, and I believe Public Works is assembling them now, and hopefully we'll have them in place by Memorial Day.
Right.
Okay. That should definitely be our goal by Memorial Day, right?
They're also going to get some No Dogs on the Beach signs.
Yes.
At the town line, and
the
also down at Fort Fisher.
Down, yep, just down by Riggins.
Yeah.
Right. Either end of the town. Mm-hmm.
So people are aware when they're moving in one direction or the other, they're coming into our jurisdiction. Okay. Thank you. Discussion and consideration of department head business, administration, and recreation. Nancy?
Mandy.
Oh, Mandy. All right.
As was discussed at the retreat in regards to some lighting being added at the park, and I kind of updated you at the budget meeting that I was working on getting a quote, and I was waiting for that. So I've gotten the quote in, and my quote for that came in at almost $12,000, and that's to add 5 Ballard lights in the playground top lot area and over towards the fence area. Since then, the police department wanted to add some outlets for their cameras under the pavilion, and a receptacle over off of the bathroom, the public bathroom area over the top lot, to add a camera there. And then also to add like a porch style light over one of the mechanical closets. So that estimate came in at $3,200, so basically at around $15,000. And I spoke to the finance officer in regards to if there was any money anywhere that we could use, but he mentioned and suggested that we use TDA since it's really for visitor safety and to keep the park safe and make sure everything's recorded appropriately, because the outlets he wouldn't have to go change batteries. The police department wouldn't obviously be changing out the batteries, and it's more often, I think, than anyone thought that it would have to be done. So that's where we are. So we're at around $15,000.
So that includes the outlets, one additional light, and the lights around the whole area, or just the play area?
Mainly around the top lot area, and it's going to extend kind of over towards the gate. And he's got us in there for five towers that we did. Yes, it was 5. So stretching those out a little bit, maybe right there at the gate is where I'm envisioning it would stop once it comes around. It would be around the top lot area, and then maybe one more down. So
are these going to be LED lights, and are they going to be turtle friendly?
Yes.
They are.
What kind of lot are you saying?
Ballard.
No, you said something lot.
Tot lot.
What's
the
top
playground?
Oh. The little playground right there to the north side.
I can't hear.
Too many concerts.
And I did, you know. I think that instead of putting lights on poles and having Progress Energy have to come in, and but doing the lower level lighting, I just think it's going to look better for ambiance and not affecting the turtles or being too bright or shining in people's windows, and I just think it's going to look better.
When can he have this done?
They're waiting on me to give them a start date. So, and I'm waiting on approval of funds.
Can you send us a picture of what the lights look like
and the placement?
Mm-hmm. I can get that. I don't have it tonight, but I can request a picture of the light.
Okay. That would help make sure that we maintain that look. Any other questions for Mandy?
So, where's Arlen? There you go. Is there funds available, or this would end up being a transfer from general fund and then replaced by TDA?
Well, we would pay for it out of the general fund, but then it should be reimbursed from TDA, or there's funds available with TDA. And we can count as oceanfront park maintenance.
Right. I mean, do we need to like wait on approving the lights, or do we want to give her authority to approve the lights?
As quickly as possible, the season starts.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's what I'm asking.
For another month, we need to go ahead and approve.
That's what I think too, right? I mean, that's what I was asking. You guys asked about seeing them. Do you want approval, or are you okay with
it? I just want to see, just out of curiosity, what's going to be.
Then I make a motion. We approve $15,200 from the general fund to be replaced by TDA for the lighting and to support the police department's request to the oceanfront park.
Second.
So a motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, thank Mandy. Please get us pictures of the lights.
Thank you, ma'am. I'll walk down and see him.
I want to know the camera placement too.
Yeah. He really wants to know the blind spot. So do I. So I'll be with you, Joe.
Okay. Finance department.
I just wanted to give you an update. The last part of the FEMA reimbursement related to Hurricane Matthew, the project was closed just about 2 weeks ago. We got the last payment yesterday.
Oh, shut up.
So that it resulted in 100% reimbursement of the stormwater outfalls that were damaged during Hurricane Matthew. So.
Nice job by you and Public Works. Yes. Good job.
Good job.
Way to keep track of your costs.
And just in time. Thanks for being in quick. Some people are still waiting. Fire department.
The chief's at school.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. I thought maybe Mr. Dugan would want to speak up, but
the chief's at school.
Nice.
Building department. Sorry, John?
I'm on the agenda.
Okay, on later. Police chief, police department, Mr. Bowden.
No, sir.
Nothing? All right. Public works.
Yeah, I just want to give an update on the ADA ramp at Bowden 4.
Yep.
I met with the engineer and Courtney, which is the camera lady, and she shows exactly where we could extend it out to, so it is feasible. As far as the engineer's concerned and CAM's concerned. So the next step would be actually getting the plans designed, drawn up by engineer, and taking it from there and getting bids.
Okay. Are we talking about just a ramp then, Jimmy?
Yes,
we're not talking about the back and forth because there's no space.
It's going to be a straight shot. There's no turn back or anything like that.
Okay. So,
You had the email about there's exceptions for beach access, right? So can you forward that to the engineer so he can include it? I don't know which way it'll change the cost, but
okay, yeah.
You know the one I'm talking about where the drop's not as Or it allows a steeper drop than what we had talked about the last meeting?
Well,
one of our citizens supplied that to us.
We've got enough room now to where it's going to be ADA compliant.
Excellent.
As far as, the drop.
Okay, that's perfect then. Okay. Thank you.
So what do you need, Jim? You need us to approve it so you can go ahead,
give me approval to get the engineer drawing it up, and that way we can take it from there and get the permits, I guess, from Cam or John. Get it surveyed off and start from there.
Okay. Do I hear any motions?
Make a motion to continue forward with this project.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, Jimmy, let's put it in burn.
Any sense of when this would get installed?
Like it to be done quickly.
Yeah, well, it all depends on the builders. You know, I mean, we got to take this in steps, and the next step would be get the engineer to design.
Right.
Before anybody can do a takeoff on the project.
We're just doing the signs. I don't know if I want to adjust the signs accessible or not.
Ah, that's a great point.
Yeah,
that's good.
I think the long-term intention is it will be, so you should put that on the signs, even if it takes a few months. Unless council doesn't think we're going to support this, I think we are.
I would believe we are supporting it since we voted for this thing twice to proceed. I would tell you that let's get the signs up that we have, and we can order another one.
Well, I think his point is it says the actual accesses that are handicap compliant, correct?
Yeah. That's,
oh,
yeah.
All
so
of
he changes
them?
The
They're
verdict.
All listed?
Yeah. So if you go to the one that's not, you can know where
that.
To go.
You can look on the map and see.
Yeah, just
one
of the
five.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay.
No, I don't understand.
Okay. We can do it any time because they are, segmented signs. Yeah. So we can just change that one section. It's just another expense to do
okay.
It.
All right.
Having an extra one won't hurt because they sometimes wander off. People like Curie Beach signs.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you get an extra one, I'm sure Public Works will end up putting it up.
Well, it's a matter of changing them all.
Yeah. Oh. That's what I said. So it says that
there's 13.
They change 13. If they add the ADA, they have to change it on all 13 signs. There's a new ADA.
That's what I said. See, that's what I was saying. It is
yes,
on every
it
sign.
It is on all
okay.
every sign.
Right. So it's not one sign. I think you would put it on. You would put it on.
Well, look.
I'll take a look at the cost.
We'll proceed with what we're doing, and then we'll change the signs because the access is more important than the signs.
That's
unfortunately,
right.
That's going to cost some money, but we'll figure it out. That's for our tourists as well, Arlen, right? Tourists and locals, right? Could be another potential TDA item. So, anything else, Jim?
No, sir.
All right. Discussion and consideration of old business. Town Facility Improvement Project Update. Mr. Oliver.
We had our monthly meeting with our design team this morning at the project site. The project is right on schedule, actually ahead of schedule a little bit. As you've driven by, you can see the block walls and the fire department are going up. Within the next 3 weeks, the apparatus bay for the fire department will be poured, and some of the steel beams started being put in place today. The biggest problem we've got right now is that nobody can find metal studs because of it says some tariffs and stuff. But anyway, that's got us a little bit behind, but the contractor's doing an excellent job, and we've got a good project manager, and he's watching after our best interest, and it's going well.
Okay.
No major issues.
No major issues, still projected on schedule.
Still on schedule, and we have discussed the stormwater again this morning a little bit. The stormwater line runs through the property, and right now we're going to leave it in as it is and probably come back and camera it later after maybe July or something.
Right.
We'll see if it's issues. But they recommended the engineering firm and our public works staff met with us this morning, and they all agreed that we should leave it in place.
Yep. Sonny, let me know. I appreciate that. Thank you guys for bringing that up as an issue.
Their belief
we don't want to leave a problem.
Yeah. Right. Their belief is it will outlast the macadam or the asphalt.
Yeah.
So. All right.
That's correct.
Thank you. Discussion and consideration for new business.
Excuse me, you said you would do the encroachment for the pool under old business.
I'm sorry, now I can't. Oh yeah, the pool for new, for old business. Okay, so we should discuss the pool now. Thank you.
I don't have any other questions. I'm ready to.
No, well, basically, the one thing made me not knowing the process, but isn't that an application or anything they need to do with John before this has to
be? I can give you a better answer if you want to know
okay.
where we came about. So several years ago, property owner wanted a pool put in when they built a house. And, come to find out, they didn't have any room to do that because our easement line swung in towards the road so closely. They didn't have the big footprint to put things like that as most other open properties. So they came to town council, asked the same question. What if we present you with a contract that basically says, if town wants us to move this pool, we will remove that pool immediately within 30 days. If we don't remove the pool within 30 days, the town can go in there, remove the pool, and put a lien on a piece of property. Town council said, okay. That's where we're at. There's been, this is either three or four that's been approved.
I think this is four.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And this particular pool is actually not as deep as as some of the previous pools.
And the reason this came about is the way those easements are written on every single oceanfront property. The town holds the easement for the purposes of beach renourishment. It's our easement. And, the way it's written, the only thing that's supposed to go in that easement is an access way. So.
And so in the discussions, I was on council when we did the first one. The discussions were that the only reason we would need to access that property is if a storm took it away, and the pool would probably be gone anyway. Yeah. And if it was in the way, it would be in the way with other stuff that we were going to be dealing with. If the core came to us with something that, no, you got to get there. 30 days is certainly fast as the Corps would ever operate, so we could get it gone fast enough. So that's why council approved the first one. And then once you've approved one, right?
Oh, I agree. I just needed a little history on this
one. Yeah, but I just think it was important to note that council's point was our only need for this easement was for beach renourishment, right? We had to get the easement so that the Corps would start beach renourishment. And then when council discussed, well, if you put a pool there, it came out pretty clearly that if you can get it removed in 30 days, you'll be faster than the Corps, right? We would know way in advance of 30 days. So that was the issue. Yeah. Right?
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And these particular lots are quite deep.
Yeah, I saw that.
Very deep. Significant portion of which they are unfortunately cannot use.
Right.
So, okay.
Make a motion we approve as presented and execute the agreement with the attorney and the property owner.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for the pool approval. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, now we'll move to new business. Proposed amendments to Code of Ordinances, Chapter 10, on motor vehicles and traffic. Would you like to...
Yes.
P&Z, right?
Craig, you want to give us any input on this?
Very, very quickly. Again, Craig Albright, chairman of the P&Z. We had a presentation to us, and we had a long discussion, about this. I know this is a work in progress, and so we don't have any real recommendations other than we passed forward to council to look at this. The committee was made up of several people, so there's been a lot of discussion about this, but we don't have a formal recommendation related to this particular item.
Okay. No formal recommendation.
Okay.
All right. Joe, do you have any input as the leader of the committee who was taking a look at this?
Yes. We started back in January looking at parking because, of course, it's always been the conversation since I was on the planning and zoning on council. We met in January. Me, police chief, Craig showed up, Ken Richardson from planning and zoning, and planning and zoning attorney, James Eldridge. And we did redid some of the zoning or the ordinances for parking. If you asked all of us in the room what we thought parking was, everybody gave you, or parking issues were, everybody gave you a different answer. You know, it depends on what side of town you live on, where you live, how long you've been here, what you see, what you notice. So we had 9 pages of proposed ideas for parking. So we whittled that down, kind of formed it up. James Eldridge took it with the existing ordinances, kind of weighed everything out, and we're going to have, this year there's going to be no paid parking. If the lots decide to do it, the Sunoco, Big Daddy's, behind Big Daddy's and behind Bud and Joe's, that's going to be private. It has nothing to do with the town. We're going to tighten up the ordinances and have a little bit tighter enforcement. Some of the changes are, you can't leave a boat in the median on I and E for a week, or a trailer. That's more aesthetic, you know. You leave your boat there for a month, nobody really likes that. Parking on the streets is one issue that's come up. It's illegal to park on the streets anyway already in Curry Beach. It just hasn't ever really been enforced.
Unless the spot's marked.
Unless it's a marked spot, correct. Now it's going to be enforced. Again, we're just trying to tighten things up. We're also looking down the road. There's 2,500 homes coming over the bridge, which is ridiculous, but that's my personal opinion. All those people are going to come down to Carolina and Kirk Beach. So we're trying to move ahead slowly. And this is a work in progress. If we make a decision, we get pushback, people don't like it, we can amend it at any time. We have options for doing timed parking around the pier if we need to, 2 hour, 4 hour, whatever we see fit. We can leave it alone. We restricted, you can't do more than 24 hour parking in the town lots, right? Leave your car more than 24 hours.
I believe that was true with the exception of the beach access.
The beach access, yeah.
That's which is 1 to 5, you may
which
not.
Is 1 to 5, you cannot park at the beach access.
And you may never leave your vehicle for the purposes of sleeping in it overnight.
Correct. And that's about all of them. I think
I would add a little bit to that, Joe. I would say that the intent here was to tighten up the control of parking to protect the neighborhoods, keep people out of the right-of-way in the neighborhoods, and if we have to have marked spaces back there for some particular reason, maybe we'll do that. No marked space in the neighborhood, you don't park in the right-of-way. You can park on your easement. You can park on your easement. Your renters can park on the easement. But not just anybody may park on your easement. I would encourage you all to take a look at these pages. I believe they're on the website.
Website, you can get copies of Town Hall and where else? It was sent out in the email for the town also, right, Nancy? Did you link it?
Okay. Now, these changes on these ordinances are basic changes to the design, and the police chief will identify some violations. There'll be a couple warnings unless you really deserve to have a ticket for a while, and then there will be some degree of ticketing. I don't think our residents are going to have any problems with these things. The second element of this is how do you take these ordinances and use them to determine how parking is managed within the town? By that I mean, where do you park? How do you park? Where do you put, where are you going to put some of the large vehicles that come to town and want to park out in front? What do you do with vehicles that are protruding into the bicycle lane and forcing bicycle people and people walking out into the flow of traffic? So there are good things in here, but there are things to come that will add more detail to this. Now, I believe we will have a public meeting on this next.
I think we should have a public hearing.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I do too.
So,
I mean, there's a lot of issues. So I guess the first question I'd have based off the email we had is, if the chief's still here, can you tell us what you've directed your guys as a change? Because I haven't gotten an email like that before about notes that you're in violation. So just for interest.
Well, I was trying to be courteous and just instead of just going out and
right.
Start ticketing everybody, put a warning on our car and say, look, this is what you're in violation of. If you have any questions, give us a call and we'll explain it to you. The one about parking in the road, I think it's been since 1973, never been able to park unless it's been in a designated space. We've had multiple people move here, and it's just more of a concern now, public safety concern. You get it all the time, when construction workers park on one side of the road, somebody else parks on the other, you can't get an ambulance or a fire truck through. Yep. Sometimes we have a hard time coming through. If a kid gets hit running in between cars, out into the road.
So were all the, I'm sorry to interrupt, Mike, but were all the pre-tickets that you put out, people actually on pavement? They were on the pavement, right? Or were they in right of way?
They were either, one of them was too close to an intersection, state law.
Yep.
And depending on how you interpret the state law, is either 15 feet or 25 feet.
Yep.
But everybody else was parked either in the roadway or on some portion of the asphalt.
Okay.
Where it was not a designated space.
Okay.
One in particular, she was parked at a 90 degree turn where if you were coming up behind her cars, you had to get in the wrong lane of traffic to go
right
around them.
No,
and
exactly.
That was the reason for that. So.
Good. No, I mean, I think having a good conversation and telegraphing any change is important. And I think that's exactly, I appreciate how you did. I was just wanted to understand fully the email before I replied. But, you know, people, I mean, I'm a fireman, so people parking in the on the street has always bothered me, right? And so I'm glad we're working on that. Some of the other changes, you got to think through, but I think letting lots of people look at it and comment is the right way to go.
And by the way, the chief is following instructions from the council. This isn't just him saying, I think I'm going to go out.
Yeah.
I'm going to
no, I wasn't asking.
Ticket
like,
people. Or
well,
whatever,
one,
so.
You know, I think I agree with the we should be enforcing. I just wanted to understand fully what we did enforce.
Yes.
You know, if you send out pictures with the tickets, I would have not even bothered you. So, and it wasn't.
I've got it for you, but.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sorry. You told me it was on pavement. That's all I need to know. That's easy to answer the question, right?
Well, right now my guys are instructed to go ahead and still give out warnings,
that's
take either a video or a picture of the vehicle, and we'll get their tag and we'll keep up a database of some sort. And then when they do get a ticket, if they do get a ticket, hopefully nobody will, but we'll at least have, we can say we've given you two warnings and let you know what you've done wrong.
Exactly right. So, that's awesome. No, that's awesome. Great way to
start. Did you have a question?
I just had a question for clarification. I know a lot of the communities here in Cherry Beach have designated beach access with dedicated mm-hmm. parking for those communities.
Yes.
And I think pretty much everybody here is familiar with the 1004 entrance.
Yes.
Where they're doing the ramp and looking at a ramp. I have to be down on that side. And for folks that are coming to Cherry Beach or residents that are going to access that beach area, I'm not quite sure whether, you know, they're not dedicated parking spots over by that entrance, but there is a right-of-way well off of the road that many people have, and myself included, park my golf cart there when we, you know, driven our stuff down to the beach. I don't, and it sounds like that would not be permissible under this going forward. And I'm just trying to make sure I'm clear on what is expected or not expected as I read it. So I just would.
As if they do change it in the right-of-ways in property owners would not be allowed. You can park in the setback of a home if you own that home. We're looking at ocean dunes in that particular right of way of using that right of way for people because there's limited parking around town. But you're right, you would not be able to park in the right of way if they pass it as it's written.
But well, you're talking about parking in the easement next to the fence.
Next to the fence.
Right. Exactly. He's talking in the public right
of side of the street of the ocean.
If you have permission from the owner, I would believe that. No.
Not the way it's written. That's why. That's one of the issues we'll get.
That's
the way it's written right now. I mean, and you know, as we move forward, this when we have the public hearing.
Yeah, we need.
My intention is to bring a Google map and show all the violations that if we don't address that specific issue, that you can just take the Google map and pop it up, and in the old part of town, circle cars. So I think 1022A has got to change a little bit, in my opinion, but the council needs to hear. There's lots of other things that people need to look at, and that's why it's, we need a public hearing, I think.
This is a journey. We need your input. We're going to need your help to come up with what works for this town, what protects the citizens, and allows the guests to have the fun that they would like to have and that they pay for and expect when they come to our town.
We'll also keep track of everything at the end of the summer. We'll readdress problem areas, repeat offenders, anything like that we need to. So we can look at it over the winter and make any changes for the next season.
Well, those 2,500 houses going in across the street, where are we expecting those folks to actually park when they come over the bridge?
In legal parking.
That's right.
Oh, in legal parking.
500?
We can give every house two parking passes, make it $25 a day and $5 an hour, and make Rice and Beach.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll support that right now.
I've read so far.
There will be. That's one of the reasons we need to have control, because we expect we'll have a larger influx of individuals. We need to direct them how we expect them to properly use their vehicles in this town for the protection of our citizens and theirs.
Okay.
So we will, like I said, this is a journey. Please get involved. Read it. Tell us what looks bad and ask questions like that. Hey, this is what I do. And
so
if it makes sense,
we can. Public hearing?
Yeah.
Before the May 15th meeting?
Sorry?
Is that a motion?
Public hearing before the May 15th?
Yeah.
I know John wants to talk about the floodplain too, so that could be a busy day.
Yeah. It's good. Let's do it.
No, we can start early.
May 15th, sure.
May 15th. Again, we're not going to move the May 15th meeting, right?
No, we're not moving the May 15th meeting. Not unless something really changes. Right now, we're not moving it.
First day around, though. So, I make a motion. We have a public hearing. How long do you think we need, Joe? Since you've kind of dealt with this.
Well, at the planning and zoning meeting, no one showed up to voice any opinion after everything kind of went crazy on one social media site. No one showed up to dispute it. One person showed up in support of it, so.
So 30 minutes or an hour, how's that? Which one?
It was 45 minutes. Split it down the middle, man.
Make a motion. We have a public hearing starting at 5:45 on May 15th for the purposes of parking.
I'll discuss this proposal.
All right. So I have motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. So it's a journey. Proposed text amendment 1803, request for outside shower enclosure in setbacks.
Okay,
Mr. Galbraith.
Thank you. This is a proposal by a resident, and we'll probably hear from the resident here, regarding a proposal to change and provide a text amendment regarding structures and setbacks. Just a little bit of a background here, and again, the resident can certainly provide more information, but the house was built. It has an outside shower, and that's approved. Then the resident then built a wooden structure screen around that particular shower, which then makes it a structure, and that encroaches into the setback. So again, John has talked to this person, and it came to the Planning and Zoning Commission, and the resident made a proposal to the Planning and Zoning Commission that we do a text amendment. And the text amendment, as you can see here in my consistency statement that I signed from Planning and Zoning, says the applicant seeks to amend the above referenced section by adding a new subsection, basically thereto permitting non-permanent structures to encroach into setback for reasonable privacy screening, such as outside showers, etc., to use new construction developer provided and town approved built-in fixtures. Again, the approved built-in fixtures would have been the outside shower head right there. We discussed this, and again, we certainly went to the idea of what a setback and the purpose of a setback is. As you can see right here in the consistency statement, we have some references. You know, two major ones. One is the environmental impact with respect to light, air, and separation between buildings. But in this particular case, very important is the risk to public health and safety by limiting access, ingress, and egress to first responders. So we had a discussion about this, again, as a text amendment. If this passes, that would affect every, zoning area within Currie Beach. It's not for this specific thing, but it would affect all the zoning areas and apply to all the zoning areas. We considered this not to be consistent, and our recommendation is not to approve this. and that's what we passed forward. I should also mention that as a solution to this, again, we have the picture right there. If this is not attached, and we had a long discussion with the Planning and Zoning Commission attorney right here, if this is not attached, for example, attached to either the ground or the building, it then represents a form of furniture. If somebody could just come in and just pick it up and move it, and that probably wouldn't even come. That would not violate any of the setback requirements, just like you had a piece of furniture right there. If first responders needed to come in, they could simply move it. But as soon as it becomes attached either to the ground or to the building, then it becomes a structure and violates the current text requirements, and therefore, again, we're recommending that this not be approved.
Okay. So that's interesting. So I had a thought just because you said that. John, if the request, I guess you have to do a... permit to build something like this? Is that the deal? That's how you got involved?
Right.
If it was on gimbal, so it, that wall slid in and then slid out the foot and a half that's the issue when you're in it and then slid back in, would you approve that if that was requested?
That was easily movable, yes.
Well, no, I mean, you know what I'm talking about? Like roller walls where both walls were really two to slide in. I don't know how to explain it. Very well, but so you can slide out, so when you're in the shower you have it, and then you slide it back in on plastic rollers or whatever. That, because if that came to you, you'd, okay, it's within the setback, right? I'm just interested in what's allowed. Okay.
What if you had a curtain, a tubed curtain, by that I mean a steel rod that was attached to the house, and you could pull the curtain over and push the curtain back, fasten the curtain to the house, that would still be inconsistent.
Well, we actually did have a discussion as to the definition of a structure,
cool. A long definition,
and we felt that maybe it wasn't quite as clean in the code as it should be, and so we may revisit that in the future in terms of trying to define structure just for these exact type of reasons. Certainly this represents a structure.
Yes, it sure does.
Right now.
It sure does.
We hadn't thought about any sort of a, you know, kind of being able to push
it.
Yeah,
I'm just interested, right?
You know, what we had thought about is simply, you know, making a piece of furniture, so to speak, where if anybody wanted to, they could just go ahead and move it, that sort of thing. So, you know, we're trying to work with the resident here, but, you know, for a text amendment, it's a recommendation not to approve this.
Okay.
But I believe the resident and the
right.
applicant.
You just may not move it when somebody's in it.
Okay.
That's right.
Right. I appreciate the opportunity. All we wanted was a shower. Mm-hmm. Again, the developer, and we didn't hire the developer, built the house and had the shower in it. And based on expectations, when we put the decks on the back, the contractor, we said, go ahead and put a shower stall, which is pretty basic and standard for the beach. In talking to the building inspector, we found out that the most we could have is a 2.5-foot shower, and it would meet the code. However, based on the fence requirements, it could only be 4 feet high.
If it went into the setback, sir.
Okay, so.
But if it's not in the setback, it can be.
However high you want.
However high you want.
Okay, I was under the impression that if it was so far from the back property line, it could only be 4 feet.
I must be confused from what we're talking about right now, then.
Yeah, 10 feet. The setback in the rear is 10 feet.
No, the fences you were talking about when people want to have 6-foot fences?
I can speak to that if you'd like for me to. The same thing I said in the meeting, which was I get these types of requests all the time. This is nothing new. It's along with 6-foot fences. Recently, Planning and Zoning made the change to allow 6-foot fences in the rear yard only.
Right, yes.
6-foot fence cannot come further towards the road than the back of the house.
Right.
Had we approved those 6-foot fences to come up, say, halfway up the side of the house and then terminate back into the side of the house, then I would consider this a non-issue as long as it was over. It was under 6 feet tall. That was my point.
Well, I'm not sure I understand. Because it would be the closing part? Is that why you see it that way?
So...
I mean, I'm okay with your interpretation. I just want to understand how you got there, because I'm not sure I get there.
You just call it a fence.
Again, if I could, this was one of the discussions we had, because is it a you know, if we would allow six-foot fence, and again, you know, I think planning and zoning recommendation is not to have that for a set of reasons. But if we had a six-foot fence there, does that represent a fence or is it a structure? And again, the definition of a structure is kind of a key thing here. And right now, it's kind of nebulous in terms of what John was talking about as to whether, if it was allowed to have a six-foot, and that is only 6 feet high, whether that would constitute a fence or some sort of a structure.
Okay. All right.
You know, again, the issue is egress and ingress, mm-hmm. for first responders.
Okay, so this discussion is basically on what the text amendment was that you have submitted.
Right, and that was something I came up with, the text amendment. If it can be changed to where the building inspector has the leeway to encroach a foot, 2 feet, because 2.5 foot shower is pretty small.
No, it is.
And for the purposes of, you know, rinsing off, showering from the beach, if it's there was a storm, you know, and the seagrass comes up, you don't want mm-hmm. to be trapping that in the house. Same thing with any elements. But if what I propose can be amended or changed, reworded, wordsmithed to give you all the option to approve or disapprove, or have the building inspector approve or disapprove instead of making it. And I understand when you say it makes it mm-hmm. everybody would, you open the floodgates. I'm not asking for that, to be a little bit more selective.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a text amendment that has the recommendation from planning and zoning that it not be approved due to the fact that it's not consistent with our current current direction.
That is correct.
So, are there any other questions for Mr. Lawler on that particular point? Okay.
So amending what I've proposed is not possible.
What you have before us right now, mm-hmm. we can vote on it.
Right.
And that's what I expect to do. I expect to have a motion, and the motion will probably be to accept the guidance
Correct.
Of planning and zoning,
right.
and then the commissioners can vote. And then if you have other ideas and you want to speak with John, I guess you can... Sir, but we'll deal with the one you have right
okay,
now,
okay?
If we can do that?
Sure.
So, but good ideas are good ideas. I think this one, so do I have a motion?
I make a motion. We follow with planning and zoning and deny the text amendment.
Okay. Okay, we have a motion and a second to deny based on planning and zoning's recommendation for the current text amendment. May I have a all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. We have a motion to approve the consistency statement.
Make a motion we approve the P&Z consistency statement for land use plan.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Sir, can you give me your email address, please? Just at the end of the meeting or to Nancy so I can send you an email?
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay, the NFIP ordinance adoption, National Floodplain.
I have it, sir. I saw it in the notes. Thank you.
Some of you guys were at the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting earlier this month when I presented the proposed flood ordinance, the new flood ordinance. Before I get into that, I want to just give you a few statistics quickly. The town began participating in NFIP in 1982. Our last flood maps were changed in 2006. That was the last time we went through this process. The new proposed flood maps were issued in 2014, and the reason that we're looking at them 4 years later is because Riceville Beach filed an appeal to those ordinances. Or to those flood maps. Now we're in the 6 month waiting period. We have until August 28th to issue or to accept this ordinance and accept the proposed flood maps for the town of Curie Beach. You don't have the ordinance in front of you, partly because there's a little bit more research that I want to go through and present to you in May. And I'll give the reasoning behind that in just a second. So as of May 31st of last year, we had 939 policies in Cary Beach, $259 million in coverage. The thing about it is only 380 of those were required.
Right.
Everybody else had the preferred risk policy. It's $423 is what the policy covers. Another interesting fact about flood insurance is it only covers the first $250,000 of your property damage, period. Doesn't matter if your house is worth $1 million, you're only getting $250. So in 2012, the town became a member of the community rating system, and it's basically a program put on by the National Flood Insurance of higher enforcement, higher record keeping, and in turn, we're giving a 5% discount per class to each of our property owners. So in 2012, we became a Class 8 in the CRS, which saved our property owners about $36,243 per year. Getting back to what I was saying earlier about having 939 policies and only 380 required, and the new flood maps. In our old flood maps, we have 380 properties that have to have flood insurance. And the new flood maps, we have 146. Y'all follow?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, the flood damage prevention ordinance, there's not very much in it we can change. There is some optional language, and mainly it has to do with more record keeping and more stricter enforcement. I'm trying to do a little bit of research to figure out whether the juice is worth the squeeze and moving forward with those restrictions. We are getting ready to be re-reviewed and re-graded by CRS, and I'm not sure that we'll meet Class 8 primarily because of one simple thing. In 2012, when we became a member of CRS, we had a mandatory 1-foot freeboard that was enforced by the North Carolina Building Code. We didn't have a choice in the matter, so that actually helped us out with the CRS and landed us in a higher or a lower class rating. Since then, the Building Code Council has saw fit to take that 1-foot freeboard out, and it's not going back in, and I can't enforce that, and our ordinance does not provide for any kind of freeboard. So that's the one recommendation that I would probably have. That we put that additional language in there requiring a 1-foot freeboard. But anyway, that's pretty much what I have for you tonight. Once again, we have to approve this by August 28th. We do need to have a public hearing on it. And
John, what's the impact of a 1-foot freeboard to construction?
So I told you a minute ago there's 380 properties that require flood insurance. Now
right.
It's going to be 146. Most of those are on the ocean front.
Yeah.
Most of those are going to a V zone,
mm-hmm.
which means the lowest structural member has to be at a certain base flood elevation. The definition of a structural member is not the slab.
Right.
It is your actual floor system. So heated space is going to be a lot more difficult to build on the ocean front. And so because of the higher base flood elevations with these new flood maps, adding 1-foot freeboard, I don't think is really going to that much.
So it's a minimal impact for a good
rate. It's already going to be a problem. And then, you have to take into consideration how many lots we have left.
Right.
And how many are going to be repurposed over the years. Speculation. Any other questions?
939 policies. That's almost half the town structures have policies. That's interesting.
Once again, most of
yeah, it's like 2,200 structures.
Preferred risk policies, they're $423 a year.
And that's for the first 250, and if you want more, you have to buy an extended risk program from somebody else.
I believe that's correct.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
It's smart money. I mean, I'm surprised it's not all the structures, honestly, because if you were to look back at Hazel, which I know no one thinks about anymore. So Fran really did nothing after the second row. But if you were to look at Hazel, even though you're not required to keep it, for $250,000 in insurance, it's smart money for our citizens.
$423.
That's why so many more that aren't required to still have it.
Thanks, sir. Okay. Any questions for John? Any questions in the group for John?
Just a real quick comment. We spent about a half an hour, 45 minutes on this on the P&Z meeting, and I'm sure this will come up as you have the discussion and hearings on this, but probably most of our discussion dealt with the point values that you get for various things that could be put in there. You know, the higher the point values, you're going to have lower insurance and that sort of thing. But when you put these sort of things in there that give you point values, it also restricts your ability to build, and that might affect property values and things like that. So it was kind of that balance of the point values of not including certain restrictions versus the property values. Mm-hmm. And I'd say that's probably the majority of our discussion.
Okay. One, like the 35 feet and the freeboard, does that impact anything relative?
A couple of years ago when that freeboard was initiated, town council actually reduced the roof pitch for oceanfront houses to help builders accommodate that extra foot and have the heated space on the ground floor.
Okay, thank you. So somebody else thought about that. All right. So we need a motion for a...
he didn't ask for anything here, right?
Well, so, we need to be done by August.
I would appreciate it if you go ahead and schedule a public hearing, but
yes. Okay, that's fine.
Most of that language we can't change, so I do want to go through all the optional language, and then it's up to you guys.
So you're requesting a public hearing, okay.
We'll do it in June.
I need to have something to advertise right. A public hearing. Is that going to be feasible for May, or
yep.
Would June be better?
I'll run out of June.
Okay,
so schedule an hour, wait till the May meeting to schedule it. Does it matter?
I'm sorry, sir.
To schedule the public hearing, do you want us to schedule it now in June or wait till the May meeting? It doesn't help you, right?
I don't see any reason why we can't schedule it for June right now.
Except we don't know when the June meeting is, it might be moved since we've moved half of them so far. That'd be the only issue. And I'm part of the reason, so I'm not saying that for any bad reason on anyone other than. So the June meeting is when right now?
It's June 19th.
Okay, I think what we have is consensus to do this in June, and we will set up the meeting next. We will set up a date in our next council meeting. Does that work?
Works for me, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have consensus.
And John can be here too, yeah.
Yep, we have consensus to discuss this in June with a public meeting, a date to be determined in the May meeting.
Yep.
Okay?
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Preliminary plat approval for a planned unit development, The Cove at Curie Beach.
So, thank you.
Can I start first? So as council is aware, I'll have to have a conflict of interest in this issue, so I won't be allowed to vote. My family, the Hegler family, has been friends with the current owner's family, the Lewis family, for over 60 years. Ms. Lewis is currently represented by my wife as a real estate agent, and so while the people coming before council are not the owners currently, I'm sure part of the issue is they need approval before they're going to purchase this property. So because of that, I've consulted with our town attorney, and I will not participate in this discussion. So I didn't want anyone to wonder why I was being so quiet, but to let everyone know that I'm very interested in the discussion. I will follow it, but I won't be participating. So just so council's not surprised when I'm quiet. They're probably all happy.
We need a motion.
I can't even make the motion, I guess, right? No. I request the town exempt me, excuse me, from this issue.
And you say as well.
Please a motion.
Yeah.
Make a motion to excuse David from the discussion of the preliminary plat approval for the Cove at Curie Beach.
In a second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thanks, Sean.
Okay.
Okay, just a little bit of background on this. This is a proposal that came before the Planning and Zoning Commission. Again, our ordinances in terms of designs and developments are basically that as long as the developer stays within the design requirements on a variety of different ordinances that we have, basically we it's more of a consultation. We can't require design elements, and it's not really a normal approval type of process. However, if they don't stay within or don't want to stay within the existing design elements, they can apply for what is called a planned residential development. We have not had one for a long time, so this is somewhat unique for us. A planned residential development is a mechanism by which, if certain conditions are met, that we can actually approve type of designs that don't necessarily fit within the existing design elements. But then you have to have findings that, in order to approve this, that it satisfies the requirements for a planned residential development. This is exactly what is coming before the council right now. As you can see in the, it's not really a consistency statement, but it's somewhat of a consistency statement here from the planning and zoning, is that essentially if the purpose of a planned residential development is to provide desirable open spaces in commonly owned areas, maintain tree cover, recreation areas, scenic vistas, and a variety of development by allowing variations in lot sizes and design requirements. So anyway, the proposal that is coming before you actually is under the planned residential development. And what we did is we reviewed what they could have done under the existing design elements, in which case we couldn't require any design type of requirements here. And they could have up to 26 units. You know, they showed us a design, you know, so certainly the applicants are here and they can show you the design that, you know, we would have to approve basically if they came in under the existing design elements. They are proposing a total of, I believe, 21 units here on a different design. There are certain elements that would require variation from the existing design requirements. But what we did is we had a long discussion. We did have a number of people. It wasn't a formal public hearing, but we did certainly have a number of people from the surrounding areas come before the council or the commission and talk about this. And probably the three main issues that were discussed, and we addressed each one of them. One is runoff and water drainage. Certainly a concern with that in terms of the non-permeable cover, that sort of thing. Another was the width of the street. And the final was the sound that the pool might have and this particular development might have on the current residents right there. So we addressed all of them. Our recommendation is, in fact, to recommend approval. Now, we did have a few conditions because under a planned residential development, we can place conditions upon that particular development now. And as you can see right here, and again, there's language to support that this actually satisfies the requirements of the planned residential development in terms of purpose and in the definition. And so we're recommending approval of this based upon the condition that the applicant timely submit a proposed declaration of restrictive covenants to the town council to consider together with the preliminary site plan. And then what came out of the discussion that we had are two other conditions. One is to require the applicant to incorporate the design and construction of the units, driveways into the units, driveways into the overall design and function of the project stormwater infiltration system. The purpose for that is, you know, there is probably the major concern was, in fact, stormwater drainage right there. And so one of our recommendations is that the driveways could be permeable, designed in some sort of a permeable process that would then be reduce the stormwater runoff there. So the recommendation that we have as a condition here is that, and the easiest way to do it is in terms of language, is that you put the unit's driveways into the overall design and function of the project stormwater infiltration system. And our second third recommendation is that there be sound abatement fence on the northern and eastern end sides of the pool area. So when kids are playing in the pool, again, we're not recommending any higher fences or anything like that, but use sound abatement type of fencing on the northern and eastern sides of the pool area to at least mitigate a little bit of the sound effects on the neighbors right behind it. So that one is our recommendation. I believe the applicants are certainly here to do a presentation.
Um, My name is Stuart Pittman with CWIR Investments, and we're the developers of the project. I wanted to mention I do have an agency agreement here from Mrs. Lewis giving us the right to have this project approved along with some other things like getting permits and so forth. I don't know, you guys have probably seen this presentation before, so I won't spend too much time on it, but this is a little bit of our experience in developing mostly in Pleasure Island, Carolina, and Curry Beach. We did just finish the Seaview Townhomes project right in front of Sea Watch on the corner of Fort Fisher and Prairie Village Way. And the current project that we're proposing would be very similar in terms of architectural design, height, the look and feel of the units and so forth. Since we weren't sure exactly what the footprints that would get approved, we have not designed the final architectural drawings, but they're very similar in size. This is just the interior of one of the units. This project went very well. Hopefully John doesn't have too many complaints about us. this is the pool. The residents are pretty happy with that. These are some other projects we've done in the area. This is Waterfront Villas and Yacht Club. Didn't start this one, but we took it over and finished it. This is down Lanier Landing, which is on St. Joseph Street, 6 Villa Names there. This is right across the bridge on River Road, River Point. And this is Harbor Point. Probably the common theme in all these projects is we've tried to do something that fits the site really well. Extraordinary design, not just your average beach box, you know, that we see a lot of. These have rooftop decks. Try to do something that enhances the community, at least architecturally anyway. So we've gotten a lot of design ideas from Baldhead and other places, you know, open rafter tails and just unique things that you don't see on every beach house. This is another one that's across the bridge, actually. But anyway, the current use of the site is a gas station, a convenience store, and a residence. Has been for a long time. As David mentioned, zoning is RB1. The adjoining property to the north zoning is also RB1, and to the south is RA1A. Also on the southern side of the property is the town of Curry Beach Pump Station number 4. And there's also an access easement from Fort Fisher Boulevard all the way down the side of the property. So the primary access to the property would be from Fort Fisher Boulevard with a secondary access just off General Whiting. And there's no current stormwater retention system on the property. So that would be an upgrade. This is just some of the allowed uses in the RB1 zoning that could go there. Obviously, I don't think anybody would want to see a waffle house there.
Wouldn't make money.
This is just the Chapter 15 language that was already discussed, you guys are familiar with. The proposed use would be for 21 townhomes. I think this has already been gone over pretty much. This is a sort of a landscape view drawing. We did meet with John and the fire chief and the public works to address some questions and concerns they had after the planning and zoning meeting, and I'll show you what those were in just a minute. So this is the drawing you just saw. After we met with them, they had some concerns about having a fire truck turnaround at the end of this street. So we did add that, as you can see at the very end. It's 40 feet in each direction and 12 feet wide, and I believe the fire chief was okay with what we designed here. And then I believe we also addressed the questions and concerns that Public Works came up with. I know we added at least one fire hydrant and maybe made some minor changes to the water loop, which our engineers here can answer any questions about that. This is just a drawing that shows the current trees and where they are. And let's Let's see. This was the alternative design that would not require any approval. It just kind of shows what you could do without having to go through any approval process, which we didn't think was a very good layout or a good use of the land, and didn't give you any real fire truck access to the property. This is just an example of what we consider to be bad design, you know, where you kind of stack all the units right against the property line. So I just found this development up in Wilmington. Thought I'd throw it in here. So this is what it could look like. We try to do something more unique, you know, stagger the units, angle them, give people some privacy and some better views, and not be all on top of each other. So that's all I have. If anybody has any questions, I can go back to the. Oops. Okay, I was going to go back to the engineering drawing where we added the fire truck turnaround in case anybody had any questions.
Okay. We are in a position whereby we do not have enough members of council to actually have an effective vote right now. With David excused and with the other individual gone. So I would like to recommend a continuation of this to May 4th. Do I need a motion for that, Andy?
Yes.
Okay. May I have a motion to continue this on May 4th?
Make a motion to continue the discussion.
What time? You got to pick a time and a place.
We have the breakfast at 8:30, so
right.
Yeah.
10:30.
May 4th is on Friday.
Friday.
I'm not good that day. I'm sorry.
You're not good on that?
No, I'm going to be there just long enough for the breakfast meeting.
Gentlemen, what date would work? I don't want to go all the way to the next council meeting. David, you can only make, well, actually,
you don't need me.
You don't need David.
I'm going to plan on attending, but you don't need me.
I could do it. I'm going to do a special meeting on Thursday night.
Let's just do it in the evening.
All right.
You could do it. How far out do we have to plan it?
Well, John will be back. When John's back, there'll be four of us, and we can go ahead and execute against a vote.
Let's just do one evening at 6:30.
And John's not back till the 25th, right?
Yeah. The 23rd.
23rd? Okay.
Yeah, I thought he was back the 23rd, because he said he could attend a council meeting on the 24th.
Oh, okay. Why don't you do it then?
Yeah, why don't we do it on the, what day is the 24th?
Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
A couple of you are gone.
That's right. Y'all got the meeting in Kildare Hills, or?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
You guys got it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna. Two of us won't be here.
We don't get invites anymore.
Well, okay. Look, can we all do the 26th?
I can do the 26th.
That's a Thursday evening. Can you do the 26th?
Yeah.
Okay. John will be back. So may I have a motion for April 26th at. Whatever time works for you, gentlemen.
My commission will be reconvening to discuss the preliminary plat approval for a planned unit development in Cove at Curry Beach on April 26th at 6 o'clock, 6:30.
6:30.
6:30.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Does that work with, hopefully that works for you, Mr. Pittman.
Mayor, can I ask a question?
Yes, of course.
Chairman of the Beach Protection and Access Committee.
Sure.
Just two questions. Beach access, I think, has come up once before. It's a lot of units. There's no easy beach access there. There are two or three open lots. I'm just concerned about traffic through the dunes and what happens and where all these people going to go. And the second thing is, from Public Works, which outfall is all the stormwater going to go to? Because we're losing those outfalls all the time.
It's not going to
go to a storm. And tends to get backed up in that area. So
I believe it's the southern outfall.
We would retain it all on site, but if there's any major overflow, we can answer that.
Okay.
Yeah, it goes to the outfall, it goes to the ocean.
Yeah.
Well, it now goes to the ocean, but...
But it's the, would be the outfall directly south of...
But they're building, yes, but they're building a stormwater infiltration system, so they'll...
Yeah, but they get overwhelmed. That's
oh, I know. Yeah. The problem down there is coming from the Sunny Point side over Whiting right now. Mm-hmm. That's the problem down there.
Yeah.
Them adding a stormwater infiltration system won't help or hurt that, at least when Sunny and I have looked at it already. We're hoping that... as this work goes, to do something on Whiting in conjunction with it, because we need to do something there.
Yeah.
And Sonny's planning, I'll let Jimmy speak for Public Works, but we're planning to look at that area because of complaints from people on the east side of General Whiting about half the block down, because there's two low properties there that it comes right sheets over that big concrete, I guess whatever used to be there, a storehouse a bazillion years ago. It sheets over that, comes across the road because there's no stormwater in that road at all, and then goes into those two low properties. And so when this work's going on, Public Works is looking, is there something else that can be done down there? It won't be part of the project, but it just happens to be work at the same time.
I think the only drain basin right now is actually in front of Red's place. I think that's the closest basin right now that catches overflow.
So yeah, that's 421.
I know there's flooding on 421.
Yes.
Various sections over there, mm-hmm. when there's excess.
Yeah,
rain, which happens often.
Yeah, the source of the water does happen to be Sunny Point. We're trying to work that as well.
And right now there's no retention on Red site, so. We should improve it by putting an infiltration system in.
How's that infiltration system maintained? Is it cleaned out? I'm not familiar with it.
It's got to be cleaned out. It'll have a pretreatment. It'll have it'll be designed so that the water falls into boxes which have a sump in them. So you've got large soil sand that sinks pretty readily. It goes at the bottom of the box, the water goes into the system, so a lot of it's cleaned out just through pretreatment, through maintaining those inlets. It's got to be set up through the owner's association, and that's in the deed restrictions and the stormwater permitting. That responsibility will first be the permittees, which are sitting right here, and then that's transferred over to the HOA for their perpetual maintenance of that. And they're bound by that permit to keep the system maintained and sediment removed from it.
I believe it's the same system we use at Oceanfront Park.
And then the beach access. Yeah. There's two public beach accesses less than a quarter mile from each end of the property. Mm-hmm. We did also talk to the neighborhood next door about potentially helping them with their drainage issues if they wanted to maybe let us work with them to use their beach access, but we haven't discussed it further yet.
Okay. So. Okay. That's certainly another great idea from my particular point of view. Yes, sir.
It would be all right if I raised an issue as a resident of General Whiting Boulevard. A concern within our neighborhood, I know of mine, is the access on General Whiting. I didn't know, and I know it needs to be there for first responders, but if you would consider thinking about a way to maybe restrict common traffic going up and down, because we live in a quiet single family residential neighborhood. One of my neighbors pointed out that his grandkids like to come to his house because they can play in the street. They can't do that in Charlotte. And if there's some way that we could impede people using General Whiting Boulevard as a common access, that would be much appreciated for residents of that road.
Okay. I'm not sure how that would be done.
I'm not either. That's why I'm throwing it. Since we all have time to plan for engineering, I thought I'd throw it out there.
I mean, I'm not defending anything. It would seem to me that anybody who lives on that road would, the best shot is right down the middle.
That's what I'm hoping to.
Right. Though if you got 15 cars backed up down there waiting to get out on 421, you may have a few going down.
That's going to be an issue.
Going down Whiting. So, okay. So, something that we can discuss further, I guess, when we come to the 26th. Anything else you gentlemen want to say? Sorry, we can't give you any direction this evening.
Thank
Okay. Next would be mayor updates. Alan and I are discussing with the Army Corps of Engineers for the next beach renourishment, which will probably be out for bid in approximately August, with the intent to start nourishment probably in the November time frame, depending on who goes first, whether it be Carolina Beach or Curie Beach. And that would, in fact, put sand on the beach for the 2019 season. So this year we have what we have. It would be at the end of the season. They would be ready for next year. Make that beach look beautiful all the way along the extent of it. The other thing that that I would mention is that, once again, this parking is important, and we need ideas on what to do with parking. So please keep that in mind as we come up on the next meeting for the for input on parking. Any commissioner items? David?
Yeah, it's just a reminder to council that at the May meeting, the emergency operations plan comes back up for approval. So it's posted on our website. Please review it, and if you have any recommended changes, forward them to me so I can collate them all and bring them to the May meeting.
Did they get their FEMA stuff, John?
They have not done that yet because I'm behind. So again, I don't see any significant changes. I know that the school that the fire chief is at Ed Kennedy right now is an emergency planning school, so he's actually looking at our plan there. So I would expect him to bring some changes back, right? But if commissioners or department heads see anything in there that we should change, now's the time to do it, because we will bring it to the May meeting to adopt. That's part of our process. So at the May meeting, adopt the emergency operations plan. And then that's what carries us through the next season, right? And also I'll be working on the letter to share with council that goes out in May to our citizens about hurricane preparedness. And then we'll be at the May meeting, we'll schedule hurricane preparedness meetings in late May and June. So I'll request your permission to schedule two of those again and have like seven people at each of them. Especially since it'll be down here. Maybe we'll get more people. But it's one of those things we got to do every year. So please look at it. Make sure you're aware of it, what we need to do. Make sure we protect our citizens.
Okay. Joe?
We are in the process of the joint land use plan study with Matsu across the river. We had our first meeting last week, everybody from Carolina Beach, Curie Beach, Leland, Brunswick County, New Hanover County, Southport, and I think that's it. But we're going to, over the course of the next year, there'll be a couple meetings here on the island, determine how we're going to interact with them for the course of the next few years. Nothing really to report yet. I did volunteer to be vice chair of the group, because I wanted Curie Beach to have a strong voice in it. But there'll be a lot of information coming out about that soon, as soon as they release information. The military, they don't want to say too much. So, currently.
All right. Alan?
No, I have not.
Okay. All right. Then I need a motion so we can adjourn to closed session.
Make a motion to adjourn to closed session.
Sorry. What? Okay.
Would you say, Mom?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. We shall adjourn for closed session. Thank you all.
Thanks for being here.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. We return from closed session.
Yep. So in closed session, the council discussed the pending retirement of the public works director. After much discussion, I make a motion that the council post the job and encourage any interested employees to apply, and we will work on an interview process and filling the job. That's my motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
No, what?
You continue the meeting.
Yeah, you guys.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Thank you. Right.
We'll continue the meeting to make a motion to continue the meeting until.
You already did.
Oh, cool.
We already did. Right.
Then, cool.
So so we're done.
Good. Yeah. Scrub that off.
Thank you.
To take
thank you, Nancy.
You're doing a great job keeping us out of trouble. We appreciate all the help.